Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 8, attaining the supreme, text number 22. Purusha sapara parata. Bhakti alavas tvananyaya. Yasyan takstani bhutani. Yena sarvamidam tadam. Purusha sapara parata. Bhakti alabhas tvananyaya yasyan takstani bhutani yena sarvamidam tatam. Purushasa paraparata bhakti alabhas tvananyaya yasyan takstani bhutani yena sarvamidam tatam. Purushasa paraparata bhakti alabha sunanyaya yasyan takstani bhutani yena sarvamidam tatam. Purushasa paraparata bhakti alabha sunanyaya yasyan takstani bhutani yena sarvamidam tatam. Ladies, purushasa paraparata bhakti alabha sunanyaya yasyan takstani bhutani yena sarvamidam tatam. Purusha, the Supreme Personality. Sa, He. Para, the Supreme, than whom no one is greater. Parata, Osanaprita. Bhaktya, by devotional service. Labhya, can be achieved. To, but. Ananyaya, unalloyed, undeviating. Yasya, whom. Antakstani, within. Bhutani, all this material manifestation. Yena, by whom. Sarvam, all. Idam, whatever we can see. Tatam, is pervaded. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is obtainable by unalloyed devotion. Although He is present in His abode, He is all-pervading, and everything is situated within Him. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is obtainable by unalloyed devotion. Although He is present in His abode, He is all-pervading, and everything is situated within Him. Prabhupada, it is here clearly stated that the supreme destination, from which there is no return, is the abode of Krishna, the Supreme Person. The Brahma Samhita describes the supreme abode as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, a place where everything is full of spiritual bliss. All the variegatedness manifests there is of the quality of spiritual bliss. Nothing there is material. That variegatedness is expanded as the spiritual expansion of the Supreme Godhead Himself, for the manifestation there is totally of the spiritual energy, as explained in chapter 7. As far as this material world is concerned, although the Lord is always in His supreme abode, He is nonetheless all-pervading by his material energy. So by his spiritual material energies, he is present everywhere, both in the material and in the spiritual universes. Yasyantakstani means that everything is sustained within him, within either his spiritual or material energy. The Lord is all-pervading by these two energies. To enter Krishna's supreme abode or the innumerable Vaikuntha planets is possible only by bhakti, devotional service, as clearly indicated here by the word bhaktya. No other process can help one attain that supreme abode. The Vedas, Gopal Tapani Upanishad 3.2, also describe the supreme abode and the supreme personality of Godhead. Eko vasi sarva ga Krishna. In that abode, there is only one supreme personality of Godhead, whose name is Krishna. He is the supreme merciful deity, and although situated there as one, he has expanded himself into millions and millions of plenary expansions. The Vedas compare the Lord to a tree standing still, yet bearing many varieties of fruits, flowers, and changing leaves. The plenary expansions of the Lord provide over the Vaikuntha planets are forearmed, and they are known by a variety of names. Purushottam, Trivikrama, Keshava, Madhava, Aniruddha, Rishikesha, Sankarshan, Pradumya, Sridhar, Vasudev, Damodar, Janardhan, Narayan, Vamana, Padmanabha, etc. The Brahma Samhita 537 also confirms that although the Lord is always in the supreme abode, Goloka Vrindavan, is all-pervading so that everything is going on nicely. Goloka eva nivasat yakilatma bhuta, as stated in the Vedas, Svetasutara Upanishad, Parashya Shaktirvi Vidaya Shruite Svabhavaki Jnana Balakriyacha. His energies are so expansive that they systematically conduct everything in the cosmic manifestation without a flaw, although the Supreme Lord is far, far away. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskadhyade Satarane. Here it mentions that Krishna is all-pervading. He's all-pervading by his energies. In other words, whatever we see around us is an expansion of Krishna's either superior or inferior energies. So in one sense, everything is simultaneously one, yet different from Krishna. So we want to know something about Krishna, we can just observe how his energies work. And that way we get some idea about Krishna, at least from the perspective of how the reflection of Krishna abode is. Here, everyone is trying to be the Lord, and in the spiritual world, everyone's trying to be a servant. Here, everyone is actually a servant. We're the servant of our senses, which we mistake as the Supreme Lord. Everyone thinks their personal material body and their minds are the whole object of devotion and service. And we very faithfully serve our body and minds without any hesitation or deviation, and generally with some kind of enthusiasm. But the body is actually not ourselves. It's just an expansion of Krishna's material energy, but it's Krishna's illusory energy. Or the body is the inferior energy, and our identification with the material body and mind is the result of the illusory energy. Anyhow, we can see how powerful Krishna's illusory energy is because it's captured in innumerable living entities. And even those who have the human form of life, they're completely convinced that although they're actually alive, they're not different from the dead material energy. So that's quite a trick of the illusory energy. To think that we're the same as the floor, because the floor is made out of the same elements that we're made out of, earth, and water and fire and air and ether. Earth meaning solid matter, just like our body to some degree is solid. It also has the fire because it's not cold, nor is the floor completely cold. It has some fire in it. The floor may not be moving very rapidly, but in one sense it's changing, so there's some movement because our floor moves. But it's a special floor. It's a devotee floor. So it moves with the devotees. It responds to the lotus feet of the devotees. And it also has some water, because water is a substance that keeps everything together. And as our body is kept together by water, so similarly the floor and the walls and everything else has some degree of water in it. The only thing is that the floor, the walls, and other objects don't have any consciousness. So that's because of the added ingredient of the soul. And when the soul leaves the body no longer has consciousness, and the fact that it's dead is revealed. We're afraid of our body dying, but unfortunately the body is already dead. It's not that when we're in the body becomes alive. It just appears to be alive because we're in it. Just like when we enter, exactly as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it's like changing clothes. No one considers that when we put on a shirt, then the shirt becomes alive. And then when we take off the shirt, we bury the shirt, we put flowers around it. And a little plaque, T-shirt. And then when we put on a new shirt, we don't think, oh, this is a birthday. And then we have a birthday party for the shirt. So we're taking on bodies and we're quitting the bodies, just like one puts on a shirt and takes it off. But due to our attachment to the body, therefore we feel great anxiety and pain. Just like if we had a dear object, say you had your favorite shirt and somehow or another it caught on fire, and you felt very sad that your favorite shirt has just been destroyed. So it's an emotional experience, and maybe physical, especially if you're wearing the shirt when it's on fire. But it's mostly an emotional problem, especially when you take the shirt off when it's on fire. And you put on another one. You keep on remembering the old shirt. Therefore, our attachment to this material body is a product of the illusory energy, and the fact that Krishna's illusory energy is also all-pervading, just like Krishna's energy of time. People, Prabhupada would say that people don't accept God, that there's a God, but at the time of, and they won't bow down before him, but at the time of death, everyone bows down. You have no choice. Because time is a factor that, even if we don't admit it, it's all-pervading and affecting everything. And yet the material nature, including ourselves, even ourselves as spiritual souls, we have no influence over this power, this force called time. We may consider ourselves a very powerful and significant force in the material world. And indeed, the scientists, they take credit. They say in the absence of God, in the absence of any kind of organization in this material world, that by our supreme intelligence, we're creating so many wonderful things, and eventually we'll conquer over the material nature and we'll stop people from dying. When I was 5 years old, we had these magazines, what we'd call comic books. You know, comic books like Batman. And in the comic book, I don't know why they call it a comic book. It's pretty sad books. They're not very comical. I guess the laugh is on the people who buy them. They're books for comics. And it had a little article and it said, in the next 25 years from now, the scientists will discover a pill, and when we take it, we can live forever. And I'm sure whoever wrote that article by now is dead. Here he left his body. He wasn't able to enjoy the wonderful pill that we all now have that makes us immortal. In any case, they claim like that, that we're about just on the verge of making everyone immortal. But unfortunately, in order to make someone immortal, you have to stop them, their bodies from changing. I mean, if we're going to make this body immortal, so let them take one atom and stop its electron from moving for one moment. Let them do something practical. All they can do is hit the atom with some other thing, and then they say something comes out, and they say that's what's in the atom. But they can't stop the atom from changing, nor do they really know what's in the atom for all their so-called scientific progress. Just like if you take a dog and you hit a dog and out comes woofs, that doesn't mean a dog is made out of woofs. So they may hit all these atoms as much as they want, but that doesn't mean they have any understanding. Just because what comes out, that's what the atom is made out of. Nor can they stop even one atom from changing. Nor are they even attempting, because they have no means. And yet they're falsely claiming they can stop time, but they can't even stop an atom. So it's all just foolishness. And because they can't stop the atom, they can't stop everything else from changing in the material world. Hiranyakashipu underwent austerities for 120 years of the demigods to become immortal, but even he developed some stomach problems and had to die. Therefore, this idea that they can stop time, they can't stop anything. Everything is changing. The only thing that's not changing is time. They can't even figure out where time is. Time is not changing at all. It's affecting everything, everywhere in the universe. And yet no one can figure out where time is or how it's changing everything. So time is a representative of the Supreme Person because it's not changing at all. As we're not changing, Krishna's energy, time, is also not changing. So it's beyond the material energy. Therefore, right before our eyes are forces beyond our control, beyond our imagination. What to speak of our own spiritual identity and nature, even the energy that moves the material nature, is inconceivable and inaccessible to the most intelligent people. Even Brahma doesn't know how to access time. He told Hiranyakashipu, well, even I can't stop myself from dying. Therefore, even before our vision and experience, the Supreme Lord is manifested in the form of time. He's manifested in the form of so many living entities, the controlling force of material nature, time, which is creating karma and moving the planets and everything else, is quite intelligently being done. Therefore, we see 8,400,000 species manifested, and we shouldn't think it's just why arbitrarily someone gets a human body and someone becomes a tree. It's all a plan going on. And Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures explain what the plan is, and those who are intelligent, they'll study these literatures and take advantage of them and apply these things in their life. Or else those who keep on claiming there's no God, there's no laws of nature, we're the supreme, we're going to control everything, we're going to enjoy whatever we want, well, they're eligible to become a tree. That's all. They're just, it's a good qualification to become a tree if they're a little pious. Otherwise, trees are quite rare compared to bacteria and other types of living entities. So, to be a tree, you must have performed a little pious activity. Unfortunately, Kali Yuga, probably by the end of Kali Yuga, Yamaraj will be hard-pressed to figure out what kind of body he should give people. Because they may not, there's only 8,400,000 species. But people will become so sinful that perhaps they'll have to invent a few more species. But the nice thing is, here is some encouragement that there is, as the material nature is controlled by a supreme person, by supreme energies such as kala, time, karma, so as there are jivas in the material nature, as the material nature is a gift given to us by the Supreme Lord, as is there is a Supreme Lord, so also there's a supreme abode. And the nice thing about the supreme abode is it's so nice that no one ever wants to leave it, except for a few people like ourselves, because we didn't know what we were getting into. But generally speaking, Krishna says, once we go back there, it's so nice we never want to come back here again. At least 5,000 years ago, when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, he didn't know of anyone who ever came back. So we have something to look forward to. Rather than looking forward to the end of Kali Yuga, we should look forward to going back to the spiritual world. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Have you noticed time getting older, getting less effective? You wake up, you're starting to feel younger again. No, time is changing everything in the universe, but it's doing so systematically without any change. It's not, when I was born, time was very powerful. But gradually I grew older, time got weaker. And so I stopped changing after some time. Time is changing everything very systematically, without any hesitation, with any alteration in its power. Even Brahma has to die. When the time for Brahma to die comes, it's not that time just got all, you know, was around for 311,040,000,000,000 years, just got tired, and Brahma could stay around for another lifetime. At the time, Brahma disappears, because time is Krishna. Krishna breathes in, and that's it. It's Krishna's time. It's his energy. He changes everything here by his will. Since Krishna doesn't change, so his energy called time doesn't change, by which he controls everything here. Anything else? Yes. My abode, chapter. Well, Prabhupada writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam that sometimes Krishna is talking as Paramatma, sometimes he's talking as Narayan. So they're all him, but they're him in different forms. So he refers to himself in different ways. What's that? It's in Bhijma's. Prayer is a Bhijma day. Just like if you're talking, if you were dressed up in a Halloween costume, because I don't know if they have Halloween here, probably they do, and you were Dracula, so you say, when I was Dracula, because you're in a different form. You don't say, you know, when you're introducing yourself at the Halloween party, you don't say, I'm Donovan. No, you say, I'm Dracula. Of course, someone may say, well, you look like Donovan. No, really, I'm Dracula. So it's just a way of referring to some appearance of yourself, a different appearance.
Speaking about the form of those, if you paint
He says my abode in here, in this verse. He doesn't say someone else's abode. He says my abode. You say the Supreme Personality of God is greater than all is obtainable. Though he's present in his abode, he is all-pervading. Everything is Purusha Saparaparata Bhakti Lava Yuktvaninya Isyantakstani Bhutani Yena Sarvamidam Tatam. Krishna in the previous verse, he said, that's my abode. Then he just says, Purusha, that I'm the Purusha. In the previous verse, he said, Tadama Paramamama, it's my supreme abode. And then he's just continuing. The Supreme Personality of God is greater than all, meaning himself. It's not that he's referring to someone else. He already said, it's my abode. He's just saying, I'm the Supreme Personality of God. He's trying to be humble. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Bhagavad Gita Kija Srila Prabhupada Kija Gaur Premanande.